Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
So I have a statement that I want to make this morning, which will kind of set the tone for the message. Disciples follow Jesus. That is the plain and simple truth about Christianity. Christianity isn't a group, a religious group that identifies with certain religious truths and we hold those to be true. We follow a person and his name is Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 16:24. It says, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Today we're going to look at this invitation, actually the invitation to the first few disciples that Jesus called into, or actually some of them kind of started following, and he invited them into this mix. We're going to look about what that invitation means for us. The truth is, every one of us are following something. You may think, I'm original, this is my style, but you're really not. I don't mean to burst your bubble, but every one of us in this room are wearing what we're wearing because we saw something somewhere that some marketing guru posted, and you're like, ooh, that looks nice, I want it, these shoes, whatever it is. That's our style. We kind of follow something. We follow diet plans, we follow all kinds of people. And now with social media, we get all kinds of stuff just presented to us over and over again, and we get to decide, are we going to practice, which is really follow, the things that they're saying that we should. And to be honest, I love the videos that go through the list of what you should and shouldn't do. And it's like one will say, you shouldn't eat this, and the other one will say, you should only eat this, and the other one will say, you should not do. And it just goes down the list. And so really, anything that you think you should be doing, there's someone out there that says you shouldn't be doing it. So it's really a confusing world that we live in. So Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, is going to show us what it means to begin the life of following him. And so today, my title is called Apprentice. I'm going to use that word interchangeable with disciple just because when we look at Christian, or I'm a Christian, or we look at, or I'm a disciple of Jesus, sometimes that loses its meaning to what it actually means. Apprentice, if you decide you want to apprentice for something, you go and work for somebody, and they teach you what they know so that you can do what they do. And that's the same thing with us, with Jesus, as we're called to follow. So before we get into the Word, let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you that you picked a bunch of scrubs to follow you. Lord, I thank that you call the imperfect, but you don't call them just to believe something, you call them to follow. And so, Lord, as we read your word, as we hear your call to your disciples to follow, that we would be people that would be willing to step in step with you. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for what you've given us today. In Jesus' name, amen. There's an author who died during World War II. His name's Dietrich Bonhoeffer. You may have heard of him. He was actually incarcerated in a concentration camp because he was anti-Nazi. And he actually died for his belief in or being against the Nazis' master plan. And he wrote this book, which if you don't want to be challenged, and if you like, you know, comfort and easy, then don't read it. But if you're looking for a challenge, he wrote this book called The Cost of Discipleship. And he said this in it. It says, the call that establishes the way of discipleship is a call to follow a person, Jesus. It is not a call to follow some abstract theology or doctrinal statement. Christianity without the living Christ is inevitably Christianity without discipleship. And Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. We cannot be just connected to these ideas without following the person of Jesus. And in your New Testament, you'll see very few times, I think three times, the word Christian is mentioned. And most of those is mentioned as a slight. They were making fun of them. They were like, they're little Jesuses. It wasn't like, oh, this is who, like today, we said, oh, I'm a Christian. This was something that they would use. But the word disciple is mentioned 269 times in the New Testament. There's a whole difference. And so what we want to talk about today is that idea of what does it mean to be a disciple? See, the Greek word that translates as disciple means learner. A disciple is a learner from the Lord Jesus. A learner is a listener and practitioner. And that is what it means to be called, that we're called to. Discipleship and apprentice. Same. Listen to this. Matthew 10, verse 24 and 25. It says, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master, which is our goal. Our call to be his disciples is for us to, in ever-increasing way, be more and more surrendered to Jesus. We should look more like Jesus today than we did a year ago if we're a follower of Jesus. Because, you know, if you hang around, have you ever had that friend that you hang around where you began to do his mannerisms, you began to wear their style of clothes, they wear off on you? It should be the same with Jesus. The more we're around Jesus, the more people should see him in us. And so what I want to do, and we're going to be in John chapter 1, verse 35 through 51 today. These are the call of the first few disciples of Jesus. And you read this in your one-year Bible if you're reading along with us. If you don't know what that is, we have three ones on the front desk. They're in an ESV translation. And basically what it is, if you open the Bible to today's date, you will get, you would finish Ruth. Oh, I'm a day ahead of you guys because of daggone Bible app. Leap year just ruins everything. So you're reading a little bit of the Old Testament, a little bit of the New Testament, Psalm, Proverb, and if you read all of these within a calendar year, you'd read the entire Bible. And primarily, not always, but what we normally do here at Reach is I'm going to be preaching out of something you read in the week. I'm cheating next week. I'm going to let you know. Next week is Mother's Day, so I'm going to teach out of John 2, which you read this week, next week. So if you want to read that over again, maybe you'll see what I'm going to preach on. Don't want to give it all away. So we're going to pick this up in verse 35 of chapter 1. It starts, it says, the next day, John, and this is John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, if you're familiar with the story, is Jesus' messenger that comes to proclaim the way to Jesus. His whole ministry, his whole purpose for being is to prepare the way for Jesus. This is what he exists to do. So he, and we'll talk about disciples in this culture and what it means, but he had disciples that were learning to be like John. They wanted to follow him. He was out in the wilderness. People were coming out to him to be baptized into repentance. This was a new thing. Like we think baptism, yes, we understand. This was a new thing. They were going out into the wilderness, and he was not in his nice suit. He was in camel hair, and he ate bugs. Just we and honey. Honey's great. Love honey. Locusts. I mean, I guess I'd eat it if I was starving. But John has his disciples, and he's with his disciples as Jesus walks by. It says, and John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, behold, the Lamb of God. This is lots of meanings. This is what Jesus came to do. He came to be the sacrificial lamb for us. And so John is saying this, and this seems sad for John. Because John, like most of us, we're like, these are my guys. Like, I have guys that I'm like, these are my guys. These are people, those are people that go to Reach. Like, I'm out in public. And imagine me at Walmart chatting with people who love Reach and are friends of mine, and another pastor walks by, and I'm like, oh man, this guy's really cool. And they're like, okay, later, it's been real nice knowing you, and he starts following them. This is kind of what's happening In this moment, these two disciples, who were John's disciples, they hear the words of John, and they go, okay, we need to follow this guy. And so let me talk about disciples in this culture, because it'll make more sense. Because we hear disciple, and most of us in this room, if you follow Jesus, you're like, I'm a disciple. In this culture, it's different. They, from an early age, were taught biblical things. They memorized, I think I was reading something this week, I think by 7 years old, they had memorized the first 5 books of our Old Testament. They had memorized it. And it was an oral culture. I mean, they could say it out loud, chapter, verse. You could be, I mean, they were better than the best homeschool kid ever. They knew it. If they were challenged by a script, like, they could just say it out loud. And if they were really good at that, they were asked to stay in that school. And then from like 7 to basically 16 or 17, they would continue learning, continuing staying. And then at the end of that, the best of the best would be seen by a rabbi and say, hey, I want you to be on my team. Which is a huge honor. A huge honor in their culture. It would be like, I don't even know who you would say. I don't want to, if I say somebody, they're going to be like, I don't want to follow him anyway. But whoever like comes out and says, hey, I want you to be on my team. And like the parents would be excited. It would be like your children got into the most prestigious school, like your kid's going to Harvard or whatever, with all the stuff going on, you may not want them to go to Harvard or wherever. But in this really great school, and you're like, man, that's great. And what do? When you go around? I mean, I say it, my daughter's getting ready to graduate from college, and she's, you know, got a degree, and she's done really great. She's getting all these little bands that you wear around your neck because her grades are really good. I didn't have any of those. And like, I'm proud, I tell somebody in the hallway earlier, she's graduating, this is what she's doing. But could you imagine if your kid got into whatever, you're like, oh yeah, oh, your kid's going to State, oh, that's great, mine's going to Harvard, MIT, whatever. And then it would be like that. The family would be so proud of this person. But it was like making the NBA. There was very few of them actually got into the program. Most of the other ones, if they made it that far, they're like, you did really good. Like, go home, get married, have kids, and produce something. Like, see ya. That was kind of the thing. And so to be a disciple was a big deal. And every one of the disciples that Jesus picked didn't get picked. They weren't the cream of the crop. They weren't the ones that made it there. They were working jobs. Some of them got good jobs. Some of them were doing things that they didn't esteem. So John's two disciples had been following him. They hear him say this. And John was very clear on who he was and who he wasn't. John wasn't sad when he saw his two guys go to Jesus, because his job was to call people to Jesus. He was preparing a way. So it would almost be like he did exactly what he was created for when those two disciples walked off. So they walk away from John, verse 37. It says, and two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Like, can you imagine? They're like, hey, good times, later, John. And they just step in behind Jesus. Doesn't say anything. Doesn't be like, hey, can I be on your team? And Jesus turns around and he has a little conversation with them. They follow Jesus, and Jesus turned and saw them following him and said to them, what are you seeking? This is the question that every person in this room has to answer if you are a disciple or a follower of Jesus. What are you seeking? Because if we're looking to be connected to Jesus because we want favor in this world, we want riches in this world, and we want everything to go smoothly and never have cancer, never have what, fill the blank or the things that you don't want. If you're following Jesus because you want these things for you, you're missing the point. See, us following Jesus is to be like Jesus, not to get things from him. And so he asked them the question. They don't really answer the question. And they say to him, Rabbi, which is a term of respect. They're identifying who he is. They say, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? So they're like, because to be a disciple means you're with them. So if they connect themselves to Jesus, like, where Jesus goes, they go. And the idea is that you would literally follow, listen, you'd be taking notes. And when they did things, you would be like, I want to say it like that. The way they started their prayer probably was exactly the way Jesus taught them to say their prayer. The way they walked, they probably had mannerisms that were just like Jesus because they were looking to him, going, I want to be with you. So to be like Jesus, we have to be with him. And we had to follow him. And the disciples were committing to saying, hey, we're with you. So they're like, basically, where are we staying? Where are you staying? Meaning, where are we staying? One thing they realized real early on is they were going to find out that this journey with Jesus was not about money and power. You know, if you are hoping that this is the cream of the crop, this is the rabbi of rabbis, because they believe, which they're going to talk about here in just a second, that he is the Messiah. And they're thinking he's probably got the best places to stay, like being connected to him is going to be great. Two of his disciples later on, John and James, they have a conversation with Jesus saying, hey, make us your right and left hand. That, and this is a seat of honor in his kingdom. They're like, hey, that's why they were kind of hanging around, because they, this is the guy we wanted to be near him. And so Jesus makes this statement, which I think he's making to all of us in verse 39. He said to them, come and you will see. Here's the promise of Jesus. If you don't know Jesus and today you say, I want to follow Jesus, I want to be his disciples, he is not going to lay out a plan of your life that you can look at and go like, okay, this is what God's going to do with me, and I agree with all of these things, and I want to be a part of this, and I'm going to step in line with him. No, he basically, you give him a blank check of your life. The following is, hey, come and see. Like, I had no idea. I was 18 years old, summer of 94, in July. I'm coming up on my 30th anniversary of saying yes to Jesus. I had no idea. I didn't say, hey, God, what do you want to do with me? I wasn't thinking about ministry. Like, you would think, man, this guy, like, no, I was a scrub. Like, I was the scrub of scrubs. My life was not going well. I didn't end. A relationship was ended for me right before this. My life was a wreck. Like, I needed Jesus. I was doing lots of dumb things, and I was ready to say, I'm yours. And I accepted this invitation of come and see. And like, I am so grateful for the last 30 years of trials and tribulations that have brought me to this place. And I want to tell you something. Of the 12 years that I've been the pastor of this church, we moved here, you're new here. We moved here, September of this year will be 12 years planting this church to be obedient to what God called us to do in the city. And most of that 12 years have been the hardest of my life. I have dreamed about leaving this field and doing something else multiple times over the last 12 years. COVID, that was about the nail in the coffin. And you know what, tell me, I for the first time the last year, part of my prayer routine now is being thanking God with my word for the honor of doing the work that he's called me to do. I don't still like it every day. I don't like the things that he calls me to say and to do and to be a part of at times, but I'm grateful that he has determined for me to be here in this city. And I just want to say that to you as we're getting into this. Being a disciple of Jesus is allowing him to decide what you're going to be and to do. And so he says, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour, and one of the two that heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So one of them was Andrew, one of the disciples. We don't know who the other one is. Some commentaries say that the other disciple was John, the writer of this gospel. One, he doesn't like to identify himself, other than the disciple whom Jesus loved. I don't have time to get into that. But he didn't identify, or it could be Thomas. The second person doesn't really matter, other than when Andrew, at this point, Andrew hadn't got Peter to be a part of being a disciple of John the Baptist. But he gets in the presence of Jesus, and the first thing that he does is goes to his brother. And when he found out, he first found his own brother. So the first thing he did after discovering Jesus is he goes to Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. which means the Christ. The promised Messiah is here. And he's invited us to follow. And we see this in other Gospels. So we know that there was conversation with Jesus. So in other Gospels, it has Jesus walking up to the boat and calling Peter out of the boat, come and follow me. Same thing with James and John. We know that in this, Peter had a connection, at least somewhat, with Jesus before that call. And so his brother Andrew goes to Peter and says, we found him. And this is what happens when we meet Jesus. It should be what happens when we meet the real Jesus, that we should want other people, specifically people that we love, to also know Jesus. Verse 42, and he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas, which means Peter. God does this throughout Old Testament and New Testament. See, in our culture, no knock on anybody's name in this room. I mean, my name's Heath. I don't really know what it means. But we name our kids, not everybody, but most of the time we name our kids things that we're like, we like that name. We don't look at the meaning of it. In this Jewish culture, they put a name, and that name was partly what you're going to step into. It was part of your identity. It was part of what your parents or you had been through. And God, throughout the Bible, changes people's names. It happened with Abram to Abraham. It happened with Jacob to Israel. It happened to Peter. It happened with Saul to Paul. Partly because God isn't as interested or concerned about what you were as much as he is interested in what you can become in him. That was a big deal. And so now, they're following, and he's getting ready to call two more people. So in verse 43, it says, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And what did he do? Right when he met Jesus, so Jesus calls Philip to follow him, and the first thing that he does is goes to one of his friends to call him in. So verse 45, it says, Philip, man, first service, the country in me was coming out. I could not say Philip without, like, the biggest redneck. Philip? I am from the South. Do claim it, but, like, just surprises me when it comes out. And if you're not from the South, you're like, it's out all the time. You're like, everything you say is country. Well, when I hear it, it's really bad. So he found Nathanael. And said to him, we have found of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Many commentaries believe that this was the first person, Philip was the first person to identify the truth and identity of who Jesus was. He's saying this, that he is from what the law of Moses said and what the prophets wrote, this is he who they had promised, the promised Messiah. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come from Nazareth? Not a good start. Philip said to him, come and see. See, one of the true things that we get to assume from this is that we are called to believe in Christ blindly. Like, here's this guy, and he's like, he's from where? And maybe he understood, because Jesus is going to make some comments about it here in just a second, maybe he understood that the Messiah was supposed to come from Bethlehem. Maybe he understood all these other things. And he was like, well, Nazareth, like, can anything good come from this small town? So he goes, not anything about Jesus, but just about his location of where he was born. And he says, come and see. He's telling him, don't just believe me. And for those reading along, I think yesterday read the woman at the well. I love her testimony. She meets Jesus. They have this whole conversation. And he tells her, and this is a weird term if you've never heard it before, he reads her mail. Like, he knows exactly what's going on. He tells her, go get your husband. And she's like, well, I'm not married. And he goes, exactly. I've been married 5 times. And man that you're with now is not your husband. And she goes back to the town to tell them that she, and this is a kind of a weird statement. She goes back to the town, I have met a man that knows everything about me. Everybody's like, I don't want to meet that man. Like, can you imagine? Because we're going to see this in just a second. Like, he knows these things. In verse 47, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit. They have not met. Jesus sees and knows you. Verse 48, Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Let me just tell you this truth, and I'm sure you're aware of it, but still we live like it's not true. Jesus is aware of everything. You can hide things from me. You can hide things from your spouse. You can hide things from everything. There's things in your life that no one in this room knows about. And you're like, briefly, no one knows. Jesus knows. Before he even had a conversation with Philip, Jesus saw exactly where he was. And look what this is going to mean for him. Nathanael answered him, Rabbi, in this one little statement, this one thing that I saw you before, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. So he went from mocking his hometown to Rabbi, Son of God, King of Israel. All because he said he saw him before. And look what Jesus is going to say to him. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, he's kind of like, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. When we follow Jesus, you will see greater things. Here's the truth. There's people in this room that you are saying to yourself, you're praying in your prayers, I want to see God move. I want to see God do things. And let me just tell you, you will never see it unless you're close to Him. At the end of this, I'm going to say this again in just a few minutes. These disciples, if at any point of this, the call and the questions and whatever, that they're like, I'm not interested, and they were out, they would have missed all the miracles of Jesus. They would have missed Him raising two people from the dead. They would have missed Lazarus. Lazarus coming from the dead, they would have missed people that have healed from leprosy. They would have missed demons being cast out of people. They would have missed the demoniac that had 10,000, a legion of demons. They would have missed all of that. Because the only way you get to see God move is being with Him. And I say that not to guilt you into stuff, but if you want more of God, this is where the line starts. You have to be connected to Him. Vine, branches, and much fruit. John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Any man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you want to see the things of God, it starts with this place of being connected to Him. Verse 51. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God. Like, he's like, you have no idea what you're getting ready to witness being with me. And you're believing in me, calling me the King of Israel, calling me the Son of God, just because I said I saw you under a fig tree. He's like, you have no idea what's going to happen when you follow me. Jesus is asking the same thing to us. This is the call of God. This is what churches exist for. We don't exist to give you information so that you know that information and so that you can fight with other people online about it. God's giving you this information so that you can know Him. And I'm not saying every dialogue on the internet is bad. We need to speak truth, but I'm telling you, it needs to start with the place of love. And I would recommend, if you've got someone that you want to have a discussion with, don't do it over text. If you've not learned this lesson yet, text is for directions and like yes, no answers. If there's any emotion in what you want to talk about, you better talk about it face to face. I'm just going to tell you. The same thing. We're not here. I want you to know. Like, We talk about reading the Bible all the time. I want you to be in the Bible. I want you to know the Bible. But I want you to know the Bible so that you can know the writer of the Bible so that you can be connected to him. That's our goal. In John, a little bit further on, we're going to jump to John 10, just because I want to read this, because I think this is following the same thing of being connected, being a disciple. John 10, starting at verse 27, it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand." This is the Son, Jesus, saying this. "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." For all of those, also, side note, for the comments that you may see online or someone that says that, you know, Jesus never claims to be God, it is everywhere. There's one right there. "I and the Father are one." Like, I don't look at somebody and say, "Me and John are one." You'd be like, "No, you're not. That's John, you're me." Jesus is telling us in this idea of the sheep and the shepherd. And every time I talk about this, I think Maud's in the room and she actually knows animals. And she will sometimes clarify, like, "Well, this is the truth." And so I'm trying to speak as much as I know. But sheep get familiar with the shepherds. And the shepherds in this time, they would sing, they would talk, and the sheep would know their voice. And when they were called, they would listen to the shepherd and follow the shepherd. This is the idea that we're talking about. Our whole goal in you reading the Word is so that you would get to know the voice of God. And if you haven't taken it, we do it lots of times. We have a class called Experiencing God, probably one of the best classes, in my opinion, to learn how to discern the will of God. Because you got to learn how to see Him, you got to learn how to hear Him. Because when you know His voice, you obey. I have this sticker, I have a little Cricut machine. Judge me if you want, that's fine. But I can make my own custom stickers if you can't. But I have a sticker, I have a little office in our house. I call it the closet office. It's tiny, it's 37 inches wide. And written on the top, because it's underneath the stairs in my house. You can just get a picture of that. And written on the top of this little room that I go into, it says, "No, hear, obey." And this verse that specifically said it, because he says that he knows us. But the truth is, until we know God and learn to hear His voice, there's not an option to obey what you don't know and you haven't heard. And so our call of a disciple is to know Him. When you open your Bible tomorrow, this afternoon, the goal is knowing the Father. And that knowledge of the Father driving you to Him. See, Jesus is not looking for converts to Christianity. He's looking for disciples and apprentices in the kingdom of God. And maybe you, like me, I spent the first 18 years of my life in and around church. Going to church every Sunday, going to Sunday school, depending on which church we're at. My parents were divorced, so I went back and forth from a First Baptist to a Presbyterian church. Really confused. Went to Sunday school, went to youth group. I did all the things. I knew information about Jesus, but I didn't know Jesus. Our goal isn't for you on the next census to check Christian. Because if you look at the statistical data of the USA, we have, I think it's lower now, it's like 67% or 70% of people that live in the USA claim to be Christian. Let me just tell you, that's not true. If we go by the standard that Jesus says, "My disciples follow me," not "my disciples identify with me," or say that we, you know, or where they're at on Sunday morning or what they do with their money or their time. But our disciples, and this is our heart for this church, is we want you to know Jesus, because knowing Jesus will carry you through everything that's coming your way. Matthew 28:19, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." See, we see the beginning of His ministry, where he's calling disciples to himself, and at the end of his ministry, he's calling us, his disciples, to do the same thing that he did. And so my question for you as we come to a close this morning is, one, are you his disciple? Not are you a Christian? Not do you identify with truths about Jesus, but are you following Jesus? Because that's the call. In my next statement, if you're like, yeah, man, I've been following Jesus for years, who are you discipling? Who are you doing life with that you're trying to do the same thing? Because this is the call. Then I said this first service, and I failed to say it till right now, but I just want to speak this over you before we get any further. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I encourage you, this is not to condemn. And let me talk about the difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction we want all day long. Conviction is the Holy Spirit going, no, not good for you, don't do that. Conviction, we shouldn't do this. And you should be thankful for conviction. Condemnation is when that thing happens, that thing that you shouldn't do, and where you would be convicted and be like, I need to stop that. Condemnation is this idea that you're not worthy anymore. You've been condemned. There's no hope for you. And this is what could happen if you hear these words and be like, man, I've been in and around Jesus forever. This is a call to knowing more, not a call to condemn you away from him further. And so what I'd like to do this morning is I would like to encourage you, because I think there's, in this room, God has called people into his kingdom, and he has gifted you to do things specifically that he's asked of you. Things that he's built in you, good work. Like, I think in Ephesians, he says that he prepared these good works for us so that we can walk into them. There's things in this city, in this kingdom, that he's called you to. And I don't mean to simplify this, but we're all called in this big machine that's the kingdom of God. And there's some of you in here that just need to be put in place to where God has equipped you for. And you may be like, I don't know. And I'm not talking about, like, for those that are like, I don't want to do full-time ministry, like, I'm not. 99% of the time, and 99% of you in this room aren't called a full-time ministry. Vocationally, meaning as your job. But everyone in here that says that you're a disciple and a follower has been called to ministry. You've been called to the things that God has said, I've made you for this. I was teasing our worship team. I'll do it before they get up here this time. They came up for service, and I was, you know, we wouldn't have worship unless people decided to use their gifts and talents to come up here and play an instrument and use their voice to praise God. And you may be thinking, that's not me. I can't play an instrument. There are things that God has set you. And I really fully believe that until you step into the things that God has made for you, you won't be satisfied. The last time, during COVID, where I just felt like I'm out, like I don't want to do ministry anymore. I think I was videoing myself for the first time on the backside of that wall. I'd never preached to a group, a non-group. I'd never videoed myself to do a sermon, and it was horrible. I couldn't connect with people. Like, I wasn't going to, like, my life, part of my gifting, like, I want to spend time with people. I'm a people person. Like, I want to sit down face to face. I want to know people. And there was none of that. So I had no idea what was being, whether we were being successful. In my mind, I thought we're failing everything. And I'm out sweating one day, doing some yard work, and I'm pouting. I'm like, God, I don't want to do this anymore. And this is the truth for me, and I think it's the truth for you. He said, you don't have to. He said, but nothing else is going to make you happy, and you'll be back. And that's, I honestly, maybe since then is when I've been trying to be like, God, thank you for giving me this role. Thank you for all the things that you're doing here. And I just want to invite people. I'm going to invite our worship team back up. I want to invite people to step forward into the things of God. And so maybe this morning that means you, like me, prior to meeting Jesus and him being my Savior, you've just been around church. You've not said, hey, I'm yours. Maybe you're in this room and you've known Jesus for decades, and you're living under where he's called you to be, and you just feel this like, man, there's more, and I want more, and I want to be connected to him in a real way, not salvation wise, but you want more of what God has for you. And I just want this morning, as we go, I'm going to pray for you. I want you in this room to say, I'm ready to take a step, whatever that is, forward. I want to connect, because I think your happiness and your joy and the things that God has for you is connected to him. So let's pray. Father, you know who's in this room. And you know what steps need to be made. You know where you're calling people to. And Lord, I pray that Romans 8:1 that I just spoke earlier, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, your children in this room, this is not about condemning their work so far. This is a call to more. This is a call to surrender. This is a call to be an apprentice to the King. Lord, I pray, we want to see your amazing works in this city. We want to see the fruit of your kingdom. We want to be like your disciples when they looked at the people coming to the well after the woman, the Samaritan woman, went and shared her testimony. And they were all coming. And he looks across this people and says, the harvest is plentiful. It's ready. And Lord, I pray that we would be a people that are eager to be the laborers that God has called his disciples. The laborers get to experience and see the fruit that you are going to harvest. So Lord, maybe in this room there's people that need to just say yes to you and begin the journey of a disciple. And maybe today that you'll solidify that. You'll let them believe the truth that nothing can remove them from your hand. That you are now, or they are now yours. And Lord, for the other brothers and sisters in this room, the disciples in this room, Lord, you're calling us to more. And Lord, I pray that we would be committed to the surrender that you have for us. Lord, we love you. I'm grateful for another day to talk about you. Lord, would you bring fruit from this message? So thank you for choosing us. Thank you for picking scrubs and saying, I want you. Lord, let us be your children that eagerly follow you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.